Welcome to the Dear Single Christian Woman podcast. I'm your host, Nikki Robinson, and every other week I'll be teaching you how to reframe your mindset about your single season to make it one of peace, purpose, productivity, and personal growth. Are you ready? Let's go. Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Nikki. And before we get started, I just want to go ahead and say a quick prayer. Father God, I come to you right now, just giving you all honor and all praise. I come to you with a humble spirit and a receiving heart, Lord, asking that you would forgive me for any sins I've committed, knowingly or unknowingly, against you and your kingdom. Father, I know not the reason you have chosen me to be your messenger, but I thank you for the honor, Lord, and I ask that you would protect me fiercely from the enemy's attacks. I know that because I have chosen to be for you, a larger target has been placed on my back. But Lord, your word says in Psalm 23, verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." God, I ask that you would give me the strength, courage, humbleness, faith and trust in you, discipline, consistency, confidence, and resilience to continue answering the call you have on my life. Lord, this is not my platform, but yours. These are not my daughters, Lord, but yours. And so I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit and become my voice. Let every word out of my mouth come only from you. And let each word touch the heart of every woman in every corner of the earth that it is meant to touch. Father, I pray that you bless and pour favor and protection upon every woman that comes under the sound of my voice. I am your vessel, Lord, and yours alone. Use me as you see fit. All of these things I ask of you in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Y'all, I am so excited about this first episode. One, because it's a testament to my intention to be more obedient to God. And two, because it's not a long episode, but I believe it's a powerful one. See, the best thing we can do for ourselves when we begin a transformational journey is be honest about where we are so that we're able to choose the right path and take the right steps to get to where we want to be. The message that God gave me for you on this inaugural episode requires us to do just that. So let's get into it. The key scriptures I'll reference in today's show are Matthew 6 and 21 and Matthew 6 and 24, the NLT version. Now, for the purpose of this message, I've lifted these specific scriptures from within a section of text because in this case, doing so would not change the scripture's meaning or cause a listener to misinterpret its meaning. I do encourage you, however, to go back and read these scriptures within their section and chapter so that you know and understand the full context in which Jesus spoke them. All right, Matthew 6 and 21 reads, "Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be." Matthew 6 and 24 reads, "No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money." Now, if you have a study Bible similar to mine, you may see a subheading above the section that these scriptures were pulled from. Mine in particular says Jesus teaches about money. And what I want you to understand is that even though Jesus specifically spoke about money, what he's saying applies to anything that we value on this earth and in our hearts more than we value God and his values. What I want you to do is replace the word money in Matthew 6 and 24 with wherever your particular treasure is. And some of you may be asking, "Nikki, how do I know where my treasure is?" Many of you, and I say this with all the love in my heart that God has given me for you, many of you know very well where your treasure is. And do you know how you know that you know? Because when you heard or read that particular scripture, one specific thing quickly came to your mind and it felt like the Holy Spirit punched you in your chest. I know because it happened to me, and I'm going to share some of my story in just a bit. For those of you, however, who are still in a place where you genuinely don't know where your treasure is, here are a few questions to consider. What consumes your heart and your thoughts? What are you desperate to have? What is that thing that causes you to do other things you know God doesn't approve of just so you can have it? What does your heart desire more than God? Be honest with yourself, because you shouldn't go on this journey of reframing and embracing your single season if you're just going to lie to yourself. There's no point. Nothing will change. Whatever your honest answers are to those questions, that's where your treasure is. So, what do these scriptures actually mean? Matthew 6:21 basically means that whatever we care about the most is the thing that will control us. It's who or what we're going to serve. It's what we think about the most, talk about the most, and put the most effort into. The desires of our heart will be based on whatever controls us. As Christians, we're supposed to serve God alone. So if we allow someone or something else to control us or become our master, that's a problem. Matthew 6:24 just reminds us of that. Now, I'll use myself as an example because I suspect that for some of you, your treasure is in the same place mine was. In 2005, I was in college and I met the man that I truly believed in my heart was going to be my husband. We met through mutual friends and he was everything that my 24-year-old heart wanted. He was cute to me and tall, which doesn't take much, y'all, because I'm only 5'1". We had great conversations. He spent a lot of time with me. I mean, we were always together, y'all. If he wasn't at work and I wasn't at school or work, we were together. The fornication was phenomenal. And yes, I said fornication. I'm not calling it intimacy and I'm not calling it lovemaking because that's not what it was. We were not married. It was lust on both of our parts and desperation on mine. And on this podcast, we're going to call a thing, so it was fornication. And in the end, it left me soul tied and brokenhearted, which is one of the reasons God tells us not to have sex before marriage. The thing that I liked about him the most, though, besides the fornication, was his sense of humor. Anybody that genuinely knows me knows that I'm silly and I love to laugh. I mean, until I'm doubled over crying and my stomach is hurting. This man was able to make me laugh like that all the time. I also developed a really beautiful relationship with his mother. And so we were pretty much inseparable until he ended it. When he did, I went into a full-blown depression. I would be at work or at school, literally fighting back tears so that no one would see me cry. I remember going home on a bus and repeatedly telling myself, just hold it in a little longer, Nikki. You're almost home. And then getting off the bus at my stop, running to my apartment, unlocking the door, closing it behind me, and bursting into tears as I slid down the door. I could only sleep when I cried myself to sleep. And even then, I would wake up in the middle of the night and start crying again. When I was off from work and school, I would just lie in the dark and cry. And when I was at work or school, I couldn't focus on what I was supposed to be doing. That man and my relationship with him consumed my thoughts day and night. When I wasn't crying, I was trying to figure out ways to make him want me again. I would come up with reasons for me to have to go over to his house or for him to have to come over to mine because I was convinced that if he just saw me one more time, slept with me one more time, if I did something kind for him one more time, he would come to his senses and we'd be together again. Now, clearly, I had issues with self-esteem, self-worth, abandonment, rejection, daddy issues, and Lord knows what else. I didn't know it or realize it at the time, but I did. So once we finally lost touch completely, after years and years of him coming in and out of my life as he pleased, and that was my fault because I allowed him to, I started developing a relationship with God, and I started going to therapy. Now, therapy was helping me tremendously in some areas, but in others, not so much. My relationship with God was slowly deepening, but I struggled with being alone, and as a result, bounced from relationship to relationship. And then one day, God began to reveal to me how scripture was being reflected in my life. My treasure, what I cared about the most, was not in God and his values. My treasure was in a relationship with a man. So my only desire was to be wanted and loved by a man. Matthew 6:21, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. That treasure and that desire controlled me, so they were my master. They always had been, because he showed me that, yes, I believed in him, but I didn't know him. So I hadn't been serving him. I had been serving my desire to be wanted and loved by a man. And that's why I always had to be in a relationship or involved with a man somehow. Matthew 6:24. And I'm breaking this scripture up into parts so that you can clearly see examples of each part. All right. No one can serve two masters. That began to play out in my life once I truly accepted Christ, because now my spirit wants and is trying to serve God, but my flesh still wants and is trying to serve the earthly desires of my heart. That's why I was sometimes doing things God was pleased with and other times doing things man was pleased with. For you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. That's why when my relationships with men that I was no longer equally yoked with would end because I wanted to stop fornicating or wanted him to go to church or talked about God too much, I would either get mad at the man for not desiring to serve God more, or I would get mad at God for all of the things that serving him required me to give up or miss out on. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. I wasn't enslaved to money. I was enslaved to the desire to be wanted and loved by a man, but the scripture still applied. And so the reason that I'm sitting here talking to you today on this podcast is because when God said, Nikki, you cannot serve me and be enslaved to the desire to be wanted and loved by a man, you need to choose. It was difficult, but I chose him. So as I close out this first episode, I leave you with two very important questions that you need to reflect on and answer before you decide to continue on this journey of reframing and embracing your single season. Where is your treasure? And who do you serve? That's my time for this episode, ladies. Thank you so much for listening. I pray you were blessed by this message and that you have an amazing rest of your week. Until next time, love and light. That's it for this week. If you enjoyed this episode, let me know. Connect with me on Instagram and TikTok at Dear Single Christian Woman. And don't forget to leave a rating and review so that other single women like you can find me. Who knows? Maybe I'll read your review on a future episode. Thanks for listening, ladies. Until next time, love and light.